اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، وصلی اللہ علی سیدنا محمد و آلہ الطاہرین. ان اصحاب الجنة اليوم فی شغل فاکہون، هم و ازواجهم فی ظلال علی الارائک متکئون، لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون، سلام قولا من رب الرحيم. Okay, these are a few verses which are mentioned as a kind of parenthesis between the calamity which is befalling the people of Jahannam. In the previous verses, Allah was talking about how they are going to come into account, how they are going to be dealt with, and when they are resurrected, what type of reaction they show. And after these few verses which are recited, there will be again a discussion of them when they want to go to Jahannam and other types of issues regarding those type of people. But here, there is just a glimpse, a comparison between them and the good doers, people who have done well in this world and now are relieved and in comfort in the other worlds. So, of course, they are termed as Ashabul Jannah, but everywhere in the Quran, the people who are good in the other world are called Ashabul Jannah, the people of paradise. And you know that people of paradise is a very, very broad term which contains Muqarrabun, Ashabul Yameen, people with strong belief, people with weak belief. And of course the Jannah, as you know, has different degrees, different places, but collectively they are called Ashabul Jannah. Now, on that day, where these mujrimun are being taken into account and then are going to separate from Ashabul Jannah and going to Jahannam, what is the situation of Ashabul Jannah, the people of paradise? إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. The people of paradise on that day. Day, you know, in the Quran means just a period of time. So, when it talks about the creation of heavens and earth in 6 days, it means 6 periods, 6 phases. So, the day of judgment, when we say, or the day of resurrection, it means that period of our life which comes. It doesn't mean that it's one day. It might have lots of nights as well. But, it is called that period of time, as that period of time is called as Yawm. So on that day, on that period, on that phase of your life, the people of paradise are engaged in some occupation. Fi shughulin, shughul and shughul both have the same meaning, and that means an engagement, an occupation, something which engages someone or occupies one's time. So they are completely occupied with their own engagements. They do not know anything about what is going on with the people of Jahannam and their sufferings and other things. They are in those shughul, but usually when someone is occupied, when someone is engaged, this means they are in hardship, they are in suffering. But here, of course, there's an explanation. They have no suffering. That occupation is a very, very pleasurable, enjoyable type of occupation. Fakihun. Now, fakih has got two meanings. One is from fukaha, which is humor. So, fakih is someone who talks humorously, who talks in a humorous way, for example, telling jokes and other things. This is one meaning. The other meaning is someone who is having pleasure. Fakih means someone with ladha, from تلذذ and تمتع, this is فاكه. And both meanings are mentioned in the Quran, are used in the Quran actually. Someone who jokes or uses humorous language, and someone who is in rejoice and pleasure. In Surah Al-Mutaffifin, for example, there is a statement about when the kuffar encounter mu'minun, and they see them, they make joke about them, and when they go back to their home, they start gossiping about them, making jokes about them. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكَهِينَ. When they go back, of course, when they see the mu'minun, they start signaling at each other, look at them, they are those silly people who have believed in the Prophet. And when they go back to their homes, they start making jokes about them. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكَهِينَ. So this is the meaning which is used in the Quran as humor, joking for faqih. The other meaning, of course, is having pleasure, and this is as well used in the Quran. For example, in Surah Tur, we have this verse about the mu'minun, the believers on the Day of Judgment, faqihina bima ataahum rabbuhum. They are rejoicing from what their Lord has given to them. Now, in this surah, what does this mean? إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون. They are in their own engagements and occupations, and they are فاكه. Well, it can take both meanings. The first meaning, they are having pleasure, they are rejoicing with their own engagements. The second is they are talking so humorously that because the ni'mah is so great that they cannot help themselves talking in a humorous way, rejoicing from what they say. And of course, then you might say, well, this means that they make jokes in Jannah, or I mean, being humorous, meaning that you talk in a vain mood. But we'll talk about this when we come to the verse Salamun Qawla Min Rabbin Rahim. There is one good meaning for this. Of course, they don't make jokes, because joke is لغو ولا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تعثيما. There is no لغو, no تعثيم in Jannah. But there is one other meaning for it. The things of which they talk to each other, the news of their experiences that they reveal to each other is so rejoicing that when they talk, they cannot help themselves smiling. And the smile inadvertently comes to their face when they talk to each other. Because the type of, well, every person's experience in Jannah is different. There was this discussion once that, well, if people of Jannah are engaged in those occupations, في شغلن, they are in their own occupations and engagements. Now, there are two types of engagements for people of Jannah. One is physical engagements, having their own lives and fruits and their own palaces, their own huris, and all these things that people of Jannah have. Well, this is a physical engagement they have. And they have a spiritual engagement, of course. And that is when they receive manifestations of the Lord every day. And of course, they need a physical preparation for it. That's why they drink from the wine of Jannah, so that they are elated somehow to be prepared to receive those very, very high manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they are engaged in such things, then why do they come around each other and start talking to each other, sit with each other? Why they have a social love? When you are very much engaged and enjoying your own life, you usually don't need other people. You don't go to other people. They don't come to each other, starting speaking with each other. But we know that in Jannah, one of the pleasures of Jannah is that social life that the people of Jannah have. They come together, they sit with each other. There are some sort of gathering in which there are thrones put in front of each other, and they sit opposite each other, ikhwan and ala surur and mutaqabirin, and all these things that we have. And they talk about this world with each other, they talk about that world, they talk about their own world in Jannah. So, if they are so engaged with their shughl, with their engagements, and أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغْلٍ فَاكِهُونَ, why they come together and talk to each other? And what's the purpose of this? And what is the pleasure of this? What, when we come together, it is, I mean, in this world, when we come together, when we go to each other's houses, visit each other, well, there are a few purposes in this. First of all, there is an affection between us, for example, if you are relatives and other things. Secondly, we need each other's advice, we need each other's, we need the communication actually. A psychological need is there for this communication. Or, all these things, do they exist in Jannah as well? Apparently, yes. The affection, the type of relative affections, for example, father and son, mother and children, they all exist in Jannah as well. And that's why it's stressed in the Quran several times that هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ or أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, their children will go with them, if they are, of course, of the same type, they live in the same place, they go and visit each other. So there is this psychological need still in Jannah. And this is something which actually develops our spiritual state. And if we want to understand God, to gain the knowledge of God in the deepest sense, we have to develop these affections here and there as well. This is one thing. The other thing, well, when we get together here, what do we talk about? Of course, put aside that psychological need that we have. But when we get together here, what do we talk about? Well, we have some problems. Of course, we talk about our problems. But in Jannah, there's no problem. Well, hopefully, we have to go and see. But, well, as far as we are informed, there's no problem in Jannah. So we have no problem, we cannot talk about our problems. Or we talk about different people, we gossip and such things. Well, we don't gossip in Jannah, of course. Or we make jokes, because we need humorous types of talk, because it would give us enjoyment, rejoice. But in Jannah we cannot have that as well. So what do we talk about when we get together in Jannah? And that type of state which it brings for us, it makes us faqih. Now, what we can say is, still, I mean, talking needs a purpose. There should be something behind it. It cannot be it cannot come out of nothing. And that talk in Jannah is probably due to the different experiences that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we want to talk about that to each other. Each one of us has a different experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is infinite. And each one of us is just like a jug, like a container, which can contain the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to its own shape and countenance and capacity and all these things. And when the experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes inside us, it takes a shape which is different from others' experiences. And when people of Jannah talk to each other about these things, they rejoice when they hear different aspects and manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe this is, of course, a possibility. Otherwise, there's no point in coming together, talking to each other all the time. Every evening, for example, we're going and sitting with each other and rejoicing with our conversation. What are we going to talk about in Jannah? Well, of course, we don't know. We have to go and see what's prepared there for us. But anyhow, this type of talk, if faqih here means talking with rejoice, talking with pleasure, if this is the meaning, then of course that talk should have something like this quality in it, which gives new information from someone to another person in paradise. The type of diversity that we see in this world among the human beings, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fruits, the psychology of people and all these things, we can be sure that in paradise this diversity is further diversified. And we have a type of world which is beautiful because it is very much diverse, very much diversified. There are lots of varieties of things there. That is what makes world beautiful here, and it would make it beautiful there. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. You see, in this world there are lots of differences. Some people are above others. And the Quran says in the hereafter these differences and these different grades are much, much more. This diversity is greater in paradise, inshallah, when we go. Okay, then he says, هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون. And they and their wives shall be in chaise, reclining on raised couches. Now, أزواجهم here might again take two meanings. Because زوج, one meaning of زوج is spouse. The other meaning of zawj is a similar group. So, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ فُرُزَاقٍ in the Quran we have. Those who have wronged themselves and those who are like them. Here, أَزْوَاجَهُمْ means and those who are like them. Take them, gather them and take them to Jahannam. Now, in paradise, of course, this might this meaning might be the case in some places where azwaj is mentioned in paradise, but usually it is used as spouses. So they and their spouses, whether their wives or their husbands, fi dhilalin, they are in shades, alal ara'ik muttaqin. They are, of course, there are, everything is luxurious in Jannah. Everything is made in a luxurious way. And why this is the case, we have to go and see, inshallah. So, whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we wear, the clothing, is all full of luxury, full of grandeur. So, of course, on high couches, they recline with their, of course, azwaj, and they either talk to each other, or they are engaged themselves with the rejoices of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi dhalalin, in the shades. Of course, probably there is no shade in Jannah because there is no sun heat which needs something to put a shade over you from. There are some explanations of this. In Jahannam there is a shade, there is a dhil, of course. And that shade is mentioned in Surah Waqi'ah, if you remember, that they are in Samum, not in Surah Waqi'ah, sorry. In other surah, I don't remember now in which surah it is, but it is said, no, in Surah Waqi'ah, وَذَلِّمْ مِنْ يَحْمُمْ, sorry. In Surah Waqi'ah, وَذَلِّمْ مِنْ يَحْمُمْ, there is something which covers Jahannam. And that is a kind of cloud or smoke. But that shade which covers it, of course it doesn't cover it from sun or heat. Because itself, that shade itself gives heat. وَذَلِّمْ مِنْ يَحْمُمْ لَا بَارِدٍ وَلَا كَرِيمٍ وَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ فِي سَمُومٍ, in a very, very hot weather. This is the weather of Jahannam, of course. فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ, and of course the rivers which flow in Jahannam, the springs that come out of the earth of Jahannam, all of these are hot. I mean, in hot weather and hot water. Now, you imagine, usually when there are the springs of hot water here on this earth, they are they are placed in very, very cool locations, isn't it? And people go in those cool locations and have the pleasure of having hot water. But in Jahannam, it's hot weather, hot water. So في سموم وحميم وظل and a shade. There is a shade. But that shade is not a white cloak that covers Jahannam or something which they can go and cover themselves from, protect themselves from the heat of sun. But it is ظل من يحموم. It's from black smoke. It makes the whole atmosphere of Jahannam dark. So, you don't go to Jahannam, inshallah, but you can imagine how it is. It's a very, very dark place. And dark place brings dark psychology, isn't it? And when you all the time live in a dark place, you are always dull. You are always in a bad mood. So, ذَلَّ مَنْ يَحْمُومُ. Of course, it's a shade, but لَا بَارَدٍ وَلَا كَرِيمٍ. It doesn't give any cool to them, any good weather, and it is not beneficial at all. It is harmful, that type of zil, which is in Jahannam, which covers the whole Jahannam. But in Jannah, of course, there is mentioned in Hadith that in Jannah, the weather is always like the weather of between dawn and sunrise in the spring or early summertime, which, you see, you always feel a very, very nice and beautiful weather without having cloud or anything. You might see a very, very nice sky, but you feel that you are under some shade. You feel that you are protected by clouds from the heat of sun. So this might be the meaning of this ظلال. في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون. They shall have fruits therein, and for them is what they aspire for. So الدعاء and مشيئة is different. In paradise, of course, لهم ما يشاءون فيها, whatever they want is there. And here فاكهة, we have to take it as a very, very general meaning. Whatever the fruits of a physical life might be there is for them. لهم فيها فاكهة. Okay. But they are not content with this. Well, last week we just made a mention of this, that in Jannah, of course, there is everything for us, but still there is aspiration. Still there is something which we desire. Every day, in a fresh and in a unique way, we really want it. And of course, that is given to us, but in a way that still the aspiration remains for it. And that aspiration, لهم فيها فاكهاتون, the physical thing, of course, we are fully content with physical things. Whatever we desire physically is there for us. But there is something else. لهم ما يدعون. We give them whatever they aspire for as well. Whatever they have spiritually, so to speak, they would desire. And what is that aspiration? What is that thing which the people of Jannah all the time, even if they are given, if they are fully fulfilled with what they want every day, still next day they want it. Still next day they feel that they are in need of it. And when it is fulfilled again, the next day still they feel that they want it. And it's like a type of aspiration. Well, the aspiration that we have in this world, for example, to become a big person, to become a famous man, to become a wealthy person, to have a very good life, big family, and all these things, these are petty aspirations. They are not aspirations in the true sense. They are illusions. The aspiration that people of Jannah have is a true aspiration. It's something which we cannot imagine at this moment. Of course, some of the mystics just have a taste of it in this world. It's just a taste. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing that people of Jannah are going to receive. It's just a taste. But it tell us what type of aspiration is that. And what type of aspiration is that? Salamun awla min Rabbir Rahim. They aspire a salam from their Lord. That their Lord every day opens their heart and tell salam, say salam to them. Give them a greeting. And that greeting, of course, is not just something which is a conventional greeting. It is something real which increases their capacity, increases their whole personality. Now, sometimes you hear about mystics in this world complaining that they have a glimpse of that great being, the creator of this world, that unique being of this world. They have a glimpse of the type of knowledge or a type of experience. Of course, it's different from one mystic to another. But they have this glimpse and it goes off for a while and they call it forsakenness. They think that they are forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a while. And then again they have another glimpse of that reality. That is what they call it, mystical experiences. And that would elate them to a position that sometimes they go mad and they say, we are God, and al-haq, and all these foolish issues which they talk about. But, of course, some of them, not all of them. But it all gives us the indication that that experience of having a glimpse of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings human beings to a status that they are on the threshold of becoming mad, really. They lose themselves. They want to lose themselves. They want to put themselves aside and only look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they want, isn't it? I mean, even we ordinary human beings, not being mystics, we really want that. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a glimpse and we leave everything, our world, our family and everything, and go towards it. Because that is the utmost pleasure and contentment that a human being can have. Now, that experience might not be an experience accompanied by a greeting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It might just be an experience, okay? Not something which accompanies a greeting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, suppose that comes with kindness, with mercy, with love from the other side, and a greeting saying salam. So what happens to a person in this world? I mean, if just a taste of it comes to us in this world, we would leave everything and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dedicate all our lives for Him. This is what happens every day to the people of Jannah. And this is what they aspire every day. Of course they are in their physical pleasures, rejoices and everything, but this is not what they want. That is just a life that they have to carry on with. What they want is this, لَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ, whatever they aspire for, it is there for them as well. What is that? سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبٍّ رَحِيمٍ. It is a salam, a greeting. Of course, greetings are different. Salam is special greeting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes, it gives security, and that's why it's called salam. It gives a sense of rejoice in one's heart because it knows that the Lord has given him security, and security is actually the utmost ni'mah that we can have in this world, isn't it? Security from any aspect, from all aspects. So, it gives us security and they feel that this salam is a word from Min Rabbin Rahim. They feel that the one who is giving them that salam and greeting is their Lord, the Rabb, someone who is sustaining them and is very, very merciful. I mean, they realize all these things. And if someone realizes this, I mean, what they want to do with those coolies and rivers and palaces after they have this type of experience every day? You can see that this is just an indication. But this type of life and this type of rejoice would make all the physical aspects of Jannah for them really meaningless. Something which they, of course, it's ni'mah from Allah, and they feel it's ni'mah from Allah. It's very pleasurable, it's very rejoiceable. But this is what they really aspire for, and they receive it. Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim. Now, about salam, we have to talk in more details, inshallah, next week, because the Jannah is called Darus Salam, isn't it? It's the place of salam, or security, or greeting, or whatever the meaning is, inshallah. And then we have salam from the Lord, from Rabbin Rahim. We have salam of Ahlul Jannah to each other. We have وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ. The angels come from every door to them, greets them. Of course, greeting of the angels is by no way comparable to this greeting for which they aspire from their Lord, Rabbin Rahim. Inshallah, next we'll talk about this in more details. So, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa
sallam. Okay, brothers and sisters, well, as you have sort of, you may have assumed that Sheikh is not feeling well, so we won't detain him for longer than necessary, but not more than 15 minutes. So, brothers and sisters, can you start with questions? Yeah, can you pass the mic to Firozia, please?
The physical places that are talked about in Jannah, are they just metaphoric in a sense that because we live in a physical world here, and we have to have an idea of what Allah has promised, and therefore to use the language of what we are kind of used to here. I mean, the pleasures and the physical pleasures that gives us pleasures here. Is that what is one aspect that means that even though they are there, but that's the only way we can comprehend that?
Well, by no means, because we have a physical life there. So if we have a physical life, there should be physical sustenance as well, and that physical sustenance should have some qualities, and these are the qualities of that physical life which we are going to have in paradise, or people are going to have in Jahannam. So they are not metaphorical, but what I was saying was that in this world our spiritual life for the believers is much more important than their physical life, isn't it? It's the same in Jannah as well. Their spiritual life is much more important and much more enjoyable than their physical life. But everything which is mentioned in the Quran, inshallah, we are going to see it. Yeah.
Sisters, sir. Yeah. No, sister. Okay, any other brothers? Ahmad, there is a mic there, you can tell.
The question I want to ask is, isn't it that after we die, we go to Jannah, we go back to God? We return back to Him. So, in what sense? I mean, here we are describing something different, in the sense that still you are a bit further away from God, even in Jannah. I mean, the way the description is being given. So what is this when we say that when we die, or maybe when we go to the heavens, we go back to Him?
Yeah, this is a very, very difficult concept, and you see, it's not only us who go back to Him. As it's mentioned in the Quran, everything goes back to Him. In fact, Allah somehow spreads the creation and then returns it to Himself, takes it back to Himself. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ. As we initiated the creation, نُعِيدُهُ, we return it back to ourselves, we take it back to ourselves. So, actually in the other world, what happens, the presence of God is completely felt for every creature. And that is the meaning of going back to Him. But how that is, I don't know. It is really difficult to grasp and to understand. Maybe Sheikh Shomali can explain a bit more for us. philosophically, I think you are the authority to explain this for us.
And it's like, isn't it that Sufis say that, like this is why the problem is of the anal heart, he has mentioned before. That means you're going to be one with God. This is the aim of almost every spiritual being. So therefore, when you go to the other life, you are going back to Him as being part, part and parcel of Him.
But He has no part.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One explanation may be this, I'm not saying 100%. When we are in this world, we have two sorts of relation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the divine aspect of our being, which is totally attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this sense we are all very near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other aspect of our relation is the the limited aspect of our being, or I could say the particularities which are given to us. And in this sense, we are far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every being in this world has these two aspects, the divine aspect and the particular or the personal or individual aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to all of us, but in this world, we may be very far from Him. So, in the Quran, Allah always emphasizes that He is very close to us. But He never says that you are all close to Me. Because when He refers to us as you, so it refers to our limited aspect. But in heaven, our reality, our, let's say, true and genuine reality manifest and will be dominant. And that is our divine aspect. So these limited selves and these particularities will be there, will not vanish. But that will not take control and will not supersede the other aspect. So in heaven, we also will be close to Him as He is close to us. And we will not be, I could say, deceived by our particularities. So when we get rid of this, I think it's a sense of return to God.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a nice explanation.
Yeah. Do you want to add to this, or I'll have to ask the ladies first, then it's Manzoor that she wanted. Okay. Any sisters? Okay, sisters, then we'll go to Manzoor here.
You know, you mentioned that in the Jannah there will be activities of interaction, social and others activities, and then also there is a dua to ask for the security and from God. Salamun, this asking of the dua. With these activities and this dua, is there a concept of progressions? For example, you are at one level in Jannah, but because of your activities and your dua, you can be promoted to a different level in Jannah. Is there any concept like that?
Well, this salam is not dua from us. It comes automatically from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an aspiration that we have, and it is fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, of course, our levels in Jannah would increase day by day because we have new experiences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, new manifestations we receive from Him. Every salam that He addresses towards us would increase our capacity and our nearness to Him. So the people of paradise go towards Him. As I said last time, when we enter paradise, that's the beginning of our takeoff towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the real sense. Now, for example, when a plane wants to take off, it taxis on the airport tarmac for a while and then it takes off, isn't it? Now we are taxiing here, and on the day of resurrection we are taxiing in that final tarmac which we want to accelerate. But when we reach in Jannah, we actually take off towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is, we all take off together. So, we are at different levels, and our different levels would go up together. So, we never reach each other. If we are set at a certain level, we are always at that level, compared to others. Not compared to ourselves, of course, we move up all the time. But compared to others, we are at the same distance from each other. So we have in some hadith that after 50,000 years, for example, some people in paradise would feel the same, would have the same knowledge that the Prophet had in this world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, that's the great knowledge that the Prophet had in this world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After 50,000 years of moving up, some people in paradise would gain the same knowledge. But where the Prophet would go, that cannot be imagined by us, because that is, he is also moving up. We are moving up, he is moving up. And that movement is infinite. We move up all the time, day by day. And that's why there is no boredom in Jannah. No one gets bored there. It's a complete move. If we get bored here, it is because we stand still sometimes. In Jannah, there is no such a notion. Everyone is moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and day by day increase. So there is no board.
Yes, Dida.
I am not well read, but I seem to remember either reading or listening that in Jannah you are on your own. You don't recognize anyone, any relations. You said quite the opposite today.
Well, this is what the Quran says. I mean, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, for example. We will make the children of those who are good, and the children are good, we make them to join them in paradise. And also the type of social life which is mentioned in paradise, the conversations which is quoted here in the Quran that goes between some people of the paradise, all indicate that there is a social life which is very, very important in Jannah. I don't know where this type of notion might have come from, but the Quran gives us completely opposite impression of what type of life Jannah would have.
So when you asked what sort of things will we talk about, I would love to talk to my grandfather and great-grandfather, how they lived, and I would love to talk to my great-great-great-grandchildren, what was life like in London at that time.
That would you do in Barzakh, inshallah. You don't need to take all this to Jannah.
Sheikh, can you take the mic, please?
Yes, yes.
The brother said, relates to the Day of Judgment, that everyone is busy with himself.
Right, yeah. So you are not concerned with your brother or father or anyone else, yeah.
Okay, sisters, yeah, there is a question on the sister's side, yeah.
If the family ties are retained in the next world, if we have somebody we love here, but in the next world, you see them, for instance, in Jahannam, you see them suffering. Will it pain us as well if we are in Jahannam?
Not really, because you don't love them then. I mean, the love is a God-centered love there. So if someone is the enemy of God, you would lose love for them completely and you would hate them. So the criterion of love and hate changes a little bit there. Therefore, if, for example, a close relative of us suffers in Jahannam and we are in Jannah, we hate them as the angels hate them, as the prophets hate them, and God hates them. Of course, there are some type of intercession for each other, for those whom we love, and if they have, of course, the minimum requirements for being covered by a type of intercession from a relative or from someone else, and above all, of course, by the Ma'sumin alayhi salam. But if that is not there, then instead of love, hate comes for the people of Jahannam.
Any question? Any other question from Sister Sai? Can we make the last question from Brother Sai, if there is any? Since there is none, so we'll have to close the session. Muhammad wa ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.